Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
We'll see how this goes. I'm feeling sometimes I'll feel like a Selah come toward the end of a series, and I'm feeling like it's coming to a close. There will be some other things I do minister, but minister from in terms of like God's word to the churches. I feel like as an end time minister, we still need to continue to visit some of these subjects. One of the things the Lord is doing is he's bringing in the harvest and he's getting the bride ready. I heard good amens there. He's bringing in the harvest and he's getting the bride ready. And so I will be staying in this vein without giving it some kind of like title. But if you guys, we're going to pray really quick. Holy Spirit, anoint what is said today and bring revelation. I pray that we would settle down in this and not have fear, but look at it with a lens of hope as we look at what's going to be taking place during the tribulation when we are so graciously in your presence. Help us to care about those right now that are in a state of refusal, that their refusal would change to reception. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so those of you who have been with us and been with me for the last month and a half have heard and seen us go through a chronology of what is leading up to what's called the tribulation time. I've been talking about the end times. And so far, we have gone through Daniel, and we have seen that the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interpreted with the timeline has come to pass exactly the way the Lord said it would through Daniel, who lived hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. We have seen the validity of the prophetic word through the prophets. We have seen the image that Daniel saw in Daniel 2 fulfilled all the way to the ankles. And I encourage you to go back and listen to these in the archive if you have not been with us and today's your first time to be with us in this particular chronology. But where we are is we are, I don't know how soon, but we are prophetically, in terms of fulfillment, right in the time before the Lord raptures the church. 50 years ago, if we had said that, I mean, it's good to be ready because we didn't know, when the Lord was coming. Israel had already become a nation in 1948, but, you know, it felt like it could be any minute. But there were still a lot of things technologically and otherwise that needed to be in place for all of the things we're going to learn about today to happen, and now they are here. And so the Lord can, he can wait as long as he'd like. He can keep the church on the earth and hold back the forces of hell that are about to be released, waiting for that last straggler to get in. Or he can say, that's it. The Bible says his spirit will not always strive with man. And so there is an end date to all of this. And as we look at this timeline, we are right now, if you guys can see this, we're right here, as I've said, at any moment we could be raptured. And today I want to talk about God's Super Bowl, which is what I call the tribulation. It's called Jacob's Trouble in Jeremiah. It's a time when the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth. You can read about it in Matthew 24. And during this time period of 7 years, it's divided into 3.5 year time slots. The first 3.5 years will be, as I've said, they'll be very good. There'll be a time that feels like restoration. Economically, we'll see things start to settle. And this charismatic leader will take his place. What happens when this rapture occurs is that the church is in heaven during this tribulation time. And so in the chronology, I'm on number 15. What happens is there's a resurgence during this time of the old Roman Empire. And remember, I talked about that. These are going to be those 10 nations that will be led by a person in the Bible called Gog. He is a political leader. During this time, this is when the feet will form on the image, okay, that's up there. And the Bible says that they will crumble. They can't mingle. So what you see is you see war countries and you see democracies trying to mingle together. And we see with NATO, we see with the European Union, we see with some of these other allegiances, a formation of some of those countries starting to make alliances now. And their target is Israel. It always has been. They hate Israel. During this time, the United States will dramatically weaken as a new multi-region federation in Europe mounts after a brief time of European chaos. And these scriptures are there, and you can get the outline if you'd like it. Go ahead and look it up. But today I want to get us into some word. Number 17 in the chronology, the meteoric rise of a popular and magnetic but satanic world leader known as the Antichrist occurs. You can find that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 John 2:18. This is right at the beginning, okay, during this time. A peace treaty, a covenant, is established. It's signed and it's confirmed between Israel, probably Muslim nations, and other third parties. And the Bible says when you hear of this, and this is the thing, I'm preaching to the church right now, okay? But I don't know who's listening. I don't know who has refused Christ. Here's what's going to happen to anybody who has refused Christ. You're going to see this leader and many other nations saying, peace, peace, peace. And the Bible says, when you hear this, peace, peace, peace over Israel, run for the hills. I don't expect to be running for no hill because I'm going to be in heaven, okay? But there will be people, this is what's happening on the earth. And today I just wanted to encourage you that you're going to get a bird's eye view of this. Your view of all the stuff going on is going to be much different than those who are on the earth. There will be people that will be saved during the tribulation. Unfortunately, there will be sons and daughters that say, oh shoot, my mom and dad tried to get me ready. They tried to tell me, they had a sense of urgency for my soul, and here I am. And this thing is playing out exactly the way that God said it would. They're not here anymore, and I'm here. And there will be a strength that God releases to those, he calls them the saints on the earth, that will cause them to love not their life, even unto death. They will go to the chopping block. They will refuse the mark of the beast. There are those that will say, I'd rather die than stay here for the last half of this game. Okay? Just take my head off now. They will have such a solidity in their spirit, a resolve that it's do or die. And that's cool. It's not cool to be left behind, but it's good to know that God in his faithfulness will still give them a fortitude to lay their life down for him. And you're either going to do it on this side or you're going to do it on the other side of this game. So this first half of what I call God's Super Bowl is going to be known as the tribulation, the final Shavuot, which we know is 7 weeks, and that's in Daniel as well. During this time, the Jewish temple is erected in Jerusalem. Those who are listening to End Time Reports right now, Josh Rosenbaum and any other Jewish messianic leaders, they will tell you all the pieces for the Jerusalem temple are in a warehouse awaiting erection. When I mention the red heifer, that is a sacrificial animal that has to be on the earth when the Jewish temple is erected. They cannot do sacrifices without it. It has been extinct for many years, centuries, but it is now on the earth again without one discolored hair. They are perfect red heifers. They are ready for sacrifice. That is a sign. They are not genetically modified. They have come back by God's design, okay, to be ready for temple sacrifice. During this time, a total of 144,000 Jewish converts, they are male virgins, And they will emerge as impressive evangelists for Jesus Christ. They will realize that the Antichrist is not the Messiah. There will be a Messianic Jew revival. And it is going to be spectacular. So isn't that wonderful? During this time, there will be judgments on the earth. And these judgments will begin to intensify. And we're going to look at some of these things. Here's why I believe in the rapture. The Bible says that we are not appointed unto judgment or to wrath. Not this kind of judgment. There will be a judgment where we will be judged for what we did on the earth in terms of what we did for Christ. And we will receive our rewards. Okay, we will go before the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards. Those other people who go before the judgment seat of Christ will not receive rewards. They will receive their eternal sentence. And that won't go well for them. And at some point we'll talk about the people that decided to hang on to these specific behaviors and call them their identity, how they will be outside of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but during this time, judgment will begin to intensify. The Bible says we're not appointed under wrath. The church. Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God for sin at the cross. Right now we're in an age of grace. He's not pouring his wrath out on the earth. I don't care what Old Testament prophet is saying. God is not pouring his wrath out on the earth. He's withholding it so that people will give their heart to him. But there's coming a day when the age of grace is going to end, the tribulation is going to begin, and the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth. And God help you if you're here. During this time, world religions will accelerate into apostasy, blending into what's called a harlot religion. I wish I had time to go into that. Harlot. Harlot. Think about that word. This is someone who will engage in intimacy with anything and everyone but God. This is a harlot church that, they're adulterous. They don't have a heart for God. Let's just say that. They don't have a heart for him. The thing about our Jesus, he's an amazing lover, but he requires exclusivity. One of his great pains is the adultery and the harlotry, what he called it, of Israel in the beginning, and how they would play the harlot, and they would play the harlot. And so, again, he's not going to be, the church, his bride, who has not played the harlot, is not going to be on the earth. There will be a harlot religion, a harlot church on the earth. Anti-Semitism will reach a peak beyond anything in the past. And this is interesting. During Hitler's genocide rampage, one out of every three Jews perished. That's a lot. Under the Antichrist system, two out of every three will die. We need to pray for Israel because God loves them. But that's a lot of people. This will be worse than Hitler's reign. All those scriptures are there. The Antichrist, now here we go. The Antichrist and his public relations man, a powerful and global religious leader, he will be over that harlot church. He will be a religious leader. Will introduce a new economic society involving a mark, which the Bible indicates is 666. A lot of people have speculated and said all kinds of things about who that number belongs to. They say that's the number of Nero, and there's all these numerologists that have made speculations. Let me tell you, it doesn't mean any of that. 666 is the number of man without God. So he will be completely fleshly, humanistic. All about man, man being God, man being his own God. And all, we've heard a lot of rumblings of that over the year. The number of God is seven. And when a man receives Christ, he's marked by heaven by the number seven, which means he's complete in Christ. This man is not complete. He thinks he is. He thinks he's all that and a bag of chips. So he will make this number his number, and he will force it on every living soul that he can, and make them bow down to him. You will put it in the right hand or the forehead, and you will have to have it if you will buy or sell. You will not have cash. The world will become a cashless society, and you can read all that in Revelation 13. I want to pick this up right now in Revelation 13. Now understand, John is exiled on the island of Patmos. He is under a political leader that if he were to write the things he's seeing in literal language, he could have been executed prematurely. Because you don't get revelation about how there's going to be another political leader that's going to arise and take over the world when you are a Roman leader that's trying to take over the world. If they find those scrolls and you're there, you're going to be dead. So the Lord gives him a lot of things in metaphorical illustrations, but he gives us, the church, enough revelation to be able to explain what's about to take place. Okay? So John begins to see, in verse 13, the dragon, Satan. He stood on the sandy shore of the sea. Then I saw a vicious beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns. So here we see it. 10 horns, the old Roman Empire, and 7 heads, and on his horn were 10 royal crowns, diadems. 10 is the number of complete political power. And on his heads were blasphemous names, and the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Listen to this. This is what Satan tried to give Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus refused him and won the battle over Satan. And this guy takes it from Satan. And he's empowered by him. Now, here in Revelation 13:1, and these are footnotes, I wanted to bring these in. The dragon, who is Satan, stands at the head of an unholy, idolatrous trinity, comprised also of the first beast, who is the Antichrist, and has a head wound, or a healed wound. Somewhere in that timeline in the beginning, he gets a wound, and he's supernaturally healed by this religious leader, which makes the whole world think that he's a god, right? And the second beast, who is the false prophet and deceives unbelievers to worship Antichrist through false signs and wonders, that's the second beast. 10 is the symbol of total political, royal, or military power and a revival resembling the Roman Empire. So there's that. These animals are mentioned in Daniel 7, where the lion represents Babylon, remember? The leopard is Greece. The bear is Medo-Persia. And this right here is the entire image of Daniel 2 up to the ankles. Here we have, you have the Roman Empire, you have Babylon, you have Greece, you have the Medo-Persians. It's all there in this place. Verse 3 says, I saw one of his heads, which seemed to have a fatal wound, but his fatal wound was healed. And the entire earth followed after the beast in amazement. They fell down and worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. They also worshiped the beast, saying, who is like as great as the beast? And who is able to wage war against him? And the beast was given a mouth, the power of speech, uttering great things and arrogant and blasphemous words. And he was given freedom and authority to act and do as he pleased. Watch this. For 42 months, 3.5 years. So he's having a heyday. He's empowered by Satan. People are worshiping him. They're saying, who is like him? You know what the church sings? Who is like our God? If he is for me, who can be against me? You understand? There's nobody as great as he is. He was healed of his wounds. He went in the ground. He was buried. He was dead for 3 days, and he rose again. And there will be many that think that this is the Christ. He's healed of his wounds, right? And they'll worship him. And for these first 3.5 years, in verse 6, and he opened his mouth to speak blasphemies, abusive speech, slander against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who live in heaven. He's cursing you, man. Watch this. He was also permitted to wage war against the saints, God's people, and to overcome them, and authority and power over every tribe and people and language and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will fall down and worship him. Everyone whose name, here it is, has not been written since the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain as a willing sacrifice. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, I want to go back to something that a lot of people don't understand. When it says he was permitted to wage war against the saints, God's people, and to overcome them, and the authority and power over every tribe and people and language and nation. Listen, that's a mystery. Because over in Revelation 12, we hear that they overcame him. You know that Satan was given authority on the earth to do as he pleased when man fell and Jesus Christ came and gave us our authority back? You know that. Satan, it says he's the prince, so he has a ruling position. He's the prince over the power of the air in the second heaven and on the earth. The only way a believer has power over him, because he has permission to have power. Do you understand? The only way a believer overcomes him is through the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. The Bible says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So when it says that he's been given permission to overcome him, he has, but they have to decide to overcome him. It says they love not their life even unto death. And there will be some on the earth that overcome him by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. That's not a mistake in the Bible. We just need to stop and teach for a moment right there, okay? So, we know there will be martyrs. We know there will be those that will be evangelized and they will receive Christ, but they will have their heads chopped off. They will die for Jesus. And there will be no other choice because this guy, this Antichrist, will say, you either take the mark or we chop your head off. Put you in a, I don't know whether they're going to do a firing squad or whatever, but you will be killed. Verse 10. I know this is heavy, guys. If anyone is destined for captivity, he will go into captivity. If anyone kills with a sword, he must be killed with a sword. So it's going to be do or die. Here is the call for the patient endurance and the faithfulness of the saints, which is seen in the response of God's people to difficult times. Oh my God. Then I saw another beast rising up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Very deceptive. This one's bad. He looked like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence when the two are together. And he makes the earth and those who inhabit it worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, awe-inspiring acts, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth right before people's eyes. They're going to think he's like Elijah that could call fire down from heaven. And he deceives those unconverted ones. Here it is. Unconverted ones who inhabit the earth into believing him because of the signs which he is given by Satan to perform in the presence of the first beast, telling those who inhabit the earth to make an image to the beast, watch this, who was wounded fatally by the sword and has come back to life. And he is given, watch this, he is given power to give breath to the image of the beast. Now, this is not conspiracy theory, but those in artificial intelligence are working to create an artificial human being that is so lifelike that they can call demons into it. Elon Musk himself said, of this project, we are conjuring the demons. I didn't want to bring, in clips and overdo it, but they are literally working on this now. And so That sounds really strange, but notice it's not giving breath to the beast. It's giving breath to the image of the beast. Watch this. So that the image of the beast will even appear to speak and cause those who do not bow down and worship the image of the beast to be put to death. Also, he compels all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, signifying allegiance to the beast, and that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let the person who has enough insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the imperfect number of a man, and his number is 666. At this point, the Antichrist moves his image into the temple and claims to be God. His religious promoter is allowed to give breath to the image. From this exact point, there will be 42 months. The moment that happens, when that image is moved into the temple, and that false prophet is allowed by the demonic realm to give breath to that image, start your clock. There will be another 3.5 years until the Lord wraps it up. And during, that's half, okay, now we're, okay. All hail is about to break loose. And this is God's Super Bowl finale, and there will not be overtime. Okay? There will not be overtime. The judgments are going to start breaking out on the earth. The first bowl. The first angel pours out the first bowl on the land, and ugly festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. You can find that in Revelation 16:12. This plague is targeted at those who have committed themselves to the Antichrist. Tribulation saints will not be affected by these sores. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be a tribulation saint. I'm a rapture saint. Hallelujah. I don't even like a pimple, much less some plague of sores all over my body, right? That's the first bowl. The second bowl is poured out on the sea, turning the water into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. Revelation 16:3. A third of the sea life had already perished with the sounding of the second trumpet. Today I'm just dealing with the bulls, because this is God's Super Bowl, okay? There's trumpets in heaven, there's seals in heaven, there's the four horsemen, there's all these messages that God is sending to the church, but I'm talking about right now, we're at halftime. Halftime to the end of the game. Okay? And this is not going to be a pleasant time. The Antichrist, oh, he thought he had it on lock. Yeah? At this point, when that second bowl is released, the rest of the sea life is gone and the oceans are dead. So, God bless all you save the whale people. Okay? God bless you. Bless you, all you global warming folks. All you people that are trying to save the atmosphere and everything, and I don't poo-poo it. We should take care of this earth. It's a gift from God. But in all your efforts to save the seals and the whales, you should be focusing on whether your soul is saved. Okay? Because God loves all his creatures, but you are more important than a sea whale or a sea enemy. Because everything in the ocean is going to die. The third bowl. When the third bowl of God's wrath is poured out, the rivers and freshwater springs also turn to blood. That's in Revelation 16. The angel in charge of the water says, you are just in these judgments. He's talking to God. You are just in these. Oh, Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. Verses 5 and 6. The altar in heaven. Guess where we are? Even those under the altar, those on top, they're going to be saying this: yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. And that's not mean. When you're there and you have a revelation of his holiness and his purity, you're going to start to realize how much he truly deserves and what he has had to put up with to redeem mankind. And you're going to be like, you know what? That's right. There will be no, I don't know why you're doing that. If you loved us, you wouldn't be doing that. Listen, all you blamers of God. There is going to come a point when blaming him is going to go to an all-time high. Why? Because you'll be following the beast who's lobbying, you know, blasphemy at God in heaven, at the church in heaven. I mean, it's going to reach an all-time high. Stop it now. Don't do that. The fourth bowl. The fourth angel pours out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. All you sun worshipers, I like the sun. God gives us a certain amount of vitamin and you know, the sun brings health to us. During this dispensation, the sun is something that God uses as a blessing in our life. But he created it. And it wasn't for you to worship. There's going to come a time when the sun is going to turn on you if you're left behind, and it's not going to be pretty. The sun is going to sear people. They were seared by the intense heat. Revelation 16, 8 through 9. Rather than repent of their sin, the wicked inhabitants of the earth cursed the name of God, who had control over these plagues, and they refused to repent and glorify him. Wow. Talk about hardened hearts. The fifth bowl of the seven bowls causes the kingdom of the beast to be plunged into great darkness. I kind of like that. The pain and suffering of the wicked intensify so that people gnaw their tongues in agony. He was telling people, I'm just going through hell. This is hell on earth. This is hell on earth because somebody didn't do something they wanted them to do. No, 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 no. You're not going through hell on earth yet. Watch this. That's in Revelation 16. Still. They're gnawing their tongue in agony. And they still refuse to repent of what they had done. That's verse 11. I got two more. The sixth bowl. The sixth angel pours out his bowl of judgment on the Euphrates River. That river is dried up in preparation for the kings of the east making their way to their own destruction. John then sees three unclean spirits that look like frogs coming from the mouths of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These demons perform miracles and deceive the kings of the earth and gather them to the final battle on the day of the Lord, and that's in verse 14. Under demonic influence, the kings gathered together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. There will be a battle of Armageddon. That's in verse 6. Yeah, not going to go well for them. They think their alliance is so big and bad. It's not going to go well. The seventh bowl is emptied into the atmosphere at that point. A loud voice in heaven says, "It is done." The seventh bowl results in flashes of lightning and an earthquake so severe that no earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake in verse 18 that Jerusalem is split into three parts and the cities of the world collapse. Islands are flooded. Mountains disappear in verse 20. Giant hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people. Verse 21. Those under judgment cursed God on account of the plague of hail because the plague was so terrible. Oh, I mean, it's like, talk about a finale. I've been to 4th of July when it's like, this is epic. I remember as a child driving in hailstorms in the south. when Daddy was preaching, and we would see softball-sized hailstones, so large that they would crack your windshield if you were driving. You'd have to get under a bridge, and I'd be terrified. We had a windshield just implode. The hailstorm was so bad. And my dad didn't hold anything back from us. He would say, this is why you need to be saved, because during the tribulation, they're not going to be softball size, okay? They're going to be as big as this car. And, you know, people are going to just be squished like a bug. He would just say things to us like that in the car. Kids, like 7, 8, or 9 years old. And we were like, you know, I am not taking the mark of the beast. I don't want my head chopped off. You know, I mean, I just like, we were getting saved at every church service. You know, we hear this phrase, love the hell out of people. I think it's time to start scaring it out of people. Scare the hell out of them. You know, it's like, I grew up knowing that, like, there is this reality of God's judgment and that we don't live under it. And that we don't want to be stupid and caught on the earth during this time. There will be children born. There's a lot of questions I get. What about the kids that are born during that time? And, you know, I do believe that every child is under God's care until it's of the age of decision. I believe that. Because once a child understands and can refuse something, then they've made a decision. Yes? And so I believe God is still good, and he's a gracious God, and he's going to take care of those that have no clue what's going on and their innocence. But here, as we wrap this up, I just think this is so epic. One of the angels of the seven bowl judgments then shows John the fate of Babylon the Great. That's Revelation 17. Revelation is a trip, man. And it's scary as all get out if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. It should. It should put the fear of God in you. But as God avenges, watch this, the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, all those, he's going to avenge all who have been slaughtered on the earth. That's in Revelation 18:24. And the whole world that trusted in Babylon's riches, they got rich by her perversions. That was so, you know, vehement in their worship of this idol, this beast. They're going to see this thing that they put all their trust in collapse and fall. And rather than crying out over their sin, they will mourn the fall of Babylon. That is disgusting. But during that time, while all this crying over, oh, our money is gone, or, you know, our businesses are gone, all of our, everything they poured their life into is gone, there's going to be laughter in heaven. There's going to be laughter in heaven. Heaven is rejoicing. In chapter 19, it is a party. So today, if your team wins and you're all painted up and your belly has their picture on it, okay, and you are an insane fan for your team, cool. That's great. I love celebration of things that we are committed to. But remember this. God wants you to make up your mind about who you are committed to, whose team you're rooting for, whose team are you on? Because there is going to be a celebration like no other celebration. The sound in heaven is going to be thunderous. And during that next chapter, Jesus Christ is going to, can we put the graphic back up there? Jesus is going to return, and he is going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist in Revelation 19 at the Battle of Armageddon. And he's going to set up his kingdom. Woo! Right here. He's going to come and he's going to destroy them all. And the feet are going to crumble just like Daniel saw. And he's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. That's the second coming. It says every eye will see him. Every tongue will confess. On earth, in heaven, below the earth. Every eye is going to see him and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth and it's going to begin a 1,000-year, what's called a millennial. The saints are going to ride in. I want epic music right now. I want Braveheart music. Saints are going to ride in with him on white horses. There is going to be an army that comes with him. And that next 1,000 years, you're going to rule over cities. You're going to rule over regions. The things that you did on this earth are going to lead to whether or not, you know, your scope of influence on the earth. Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. Because our king's going to be here with us. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there's going to become what's called the new heaven and the new earth and a new Jerusalem. And this one's going to be rolled up and done away with. And we will never hear of it again. And we will be with him forever, where there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. There will be no more wars. There will be no more sin. There will be no more betrayal. There will be no more divorce. There will be no more depression. There will be no more mental illness. There will be no more sexual perversion. There will be no death. There will be no dying. There will be nothing filthy. There will be nothing staining. There will be nothing sorrowful for the rest of eternity. And forever is forever. It's forever. Hallelujah. 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 And we will rule and we will reign with the King of Kings, our bridegroom, our forever husband, the lover of our soul, the one who came and paid the highest price, the great pearl of salvation. Forever we will rule and reign with him. And there will be no darkness. We will live in the brightness of his glory. We will know him as he is. And we will be fully known as we are. And I can't wait. I can't wait. When I say that, I mean I can. But it's just there's an anticipation. There is a hunger. There is a longing in my spirit. For him to receive the reward of his suffering. He is worthy of our allegiance. He is worthy of our purity. He is worthy of the momentary pain that we experience on this earth, because there is a process and there is a pearl that comes to him in our painful seasons as he makes us into more of his image. On the days when we have to go through suffering and trials and fire, the fire does not have authority to destroy us. It only has authority to make us. And whatever we go through that makes us look more like him is worth it in the time that we have left. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Worthy is his name. Worthy is his name. Worthy is his name. To you be all the glory, Jesus. To you be all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. We know what's happening right now in the throne room. Daddy, he's got the table set. The angels have the linens on the table. There is a fuss in the kitchen. The marriage supper of the Lamb is being prepared right now. There are things going on up there. There are executive decisions that are being made. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we are the object of your affection. I pray for every person right now who has been in a state of refusal, who has been in a state of powerlessness about their ability to serve you on this earth. I pray they would have an epiphany, a revelation right now that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And I pray that in this hour, many would turn. Many would turn and many would begin to burn on fire for you. Let us be lit. Let us be lit, not as the world says lit, but let us be lit. Let us be lit anew. Breathe on the church anew, Lord. Breathe on her. Breathe on her. Empower her and fire her up. Help her to fulfill her assignment while she still has time. Help us to do the work while it is still day, because night is coming when no man can work. I pray over your precious ones in Israel. Lord, I pray for Jerusalem. I pray for not only the peace of Jerusalem, but the salvation of Jerusalem. Help us to ever have our heart turned toward that nation. And Lord, to continue to lift her up in prayer. May you out of that nation in your land reap the harvest that you died to receive. I pray that any person listening to me right now that has never received Christ, Jesus, I pray you who are listening would make him your Lord and Savior. Let go of, I got to join a church or this or that. You should be in fellowship with other believers. Maybe church people have hurt you. Maybe you're sitting out because you're scared. I bind the spirit of fear and break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. I call you in. And I just declare, as Jesus did, right now is your day of salvation. Right now is your time. Confess him now as Lord. Don't be in the crowd that curses him. There's coming a true separation. Do it now. Come on, saints, stand to your feet. Help them pray. Help somebody today pray to receive him. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. I receive what you did for me. I take it as a free gift. My salvation came from you, not from myself. Fill me with your spirit. I renounce sin and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I know from this day forward, I will be in heaven with the church when this is going on. And I rejoice because I will never be the same. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You saved my life. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank God that you're going to be in heaven when God's Super Bowl takes place. You're on the winning team. The team will be here if you need them. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.